and also be able to relax.
What are some of the key ingredients to a good lighting setup? Like, what are some of the good key ingredients to that for daytime versus nighttime? Is it recessed lighting? Is it ambient lighting? Is it a certain color?
It's all those things, yeah. And so what we have now in our technologies these days is you can create these different experiences with, recessed architecture lighting, linear tape type lighting, accent lighting, or even decorative fixtures. And you can change the color of the light, whether it's going to be, a color temperature of white or a red, green, blue. So there's all kinds of ways you can do that. And we have those technologies now that can really customize any space to make, whatever the atmosphere you're trying to achieve, pretty simple to do. Whereas before in the past, you didn't really have those options.
Right, yeah. And what do you think a lot of those options stemmed from? Do you feel like it came from overseas, or whatever, was a lot of it designed or invented or came out of America?
Well, the number one lighting control company in the world is called Lutron, and they're actually a US-based company. And they have, their facilities out in Pennsylvania, and they're a worldwide company, and they invented the dimmer switch we have on our walls. They invented that, in the 60s, I believe. So that, obviously transformed the way we were able to adjust light. And then now they have products like Ketra, and those allow us to do things with the temperature of the light, the color of light, which we haven't seen before. And I've had the luxury of visiting their factories in Pennsylvania and Texas. And so, yes, they are US-based products. So it's not something that we have to rely on from an overseas manufacturer, which is great. So it's nice to be able to say that too.
And what are your thoughts on the, I guess the, I know for us, we've been dabbling in the light game for quite some time, actually. Some of our team members went to SCAD, and I've been doing art since I was a kid 4, and I went to Cornell. But make a long story short, I know that some people, they take the lighting seriously, right? Like, we know that there's LED bulbs versus, non-LED bulbs. There's different shapes and different frames of the bulb and skins. And then there's a new technology that people are trying and testing out with Govee. Govee has outdoor lights, some of those products. What do you think about those products that are more affordable, versus just doing a dimmer and you can control it from your phone? How effective do you feel that those are?
Well, from my perspective, because I integrate the entire experience in a home, it's not just a matter of, if you can do it from, the interface that the manufacturer provides. It has to be able to scale across multiple interfaces so the client can use it in a simple fashion. And so usually, those types of products are tested and they're developed around different platforms to be compatible on multiple ways of using it. So I don't like my clients to feel like it's a science experiment. I want them to have something that's reliable and it's predictable every time they go to use it. So I stick with manufacturers and products that have been around, that are tried and true. And I know there's always cool stuff that comes and goes. And I just don't want my clients to feel like, it's one of those things they're being tested upon, right? It has to be something that they use and know how to use, and it works every time. So that's why I try and steer towards the tried and true brands that create these products for that reason.
Yeah, because some dimmers, like you said before, and some control interfaces, they can be a little bit overwhelming, right?
Sure.
Some of the dimmer switches that I've gotten from, I don't even say Amazon, but you already know. They're touch screen. Some of them look like the size of like a size of an iPhone 4 or whatever, and you touch it. Like you said before, it's the interfaces, it could be overwhelming. Sometimes you touch it and it doesn't respond to you, and you're having company and you have people coming over and you're fighting the light switch, and that can become overwhelming, as well as sometimes your Govee or a Hue light bulb or a Lifix light bulb or some of these newer light technologies that are from China. You touch the interface and it doesn't respond back because your Wi-Fi signal is weak, or maybe you didn't press the
Sure.
Bluetooth button. So for you, you're saying, right.
Yeah.
So for you know what I'm saying.
Oh yeah.
So, right. It's very, it's overwhelming. It's It's frustrating at times. You're trying to entertain your friends and your guests, and you're trying to make an impression. And you're also trying to change your mood, like you said, because some certain colors really make us feel a certain type of way. You know, like reds for me make me feel, you know, excited. But yet, if it's a hot red, it'll make me feel vibrant. Just, you know,
Sure.
just, yeah, and just very curious and also just and excited and happy and just, and then there's blues that make you feel more calm, and then there's lighter blues. But sometimes when you have these light fixtures, and even with the sound systems, how are you integrating these sound systems with the light fixtures? Because me and you both know that, the normal, some of the residential products that they have in place, they don't always talk to each other. Like the Sonos doesn't talk to you know what I'm saying? The Sonos doesn't talk to the projector doesn't talk, you know, because everybody's doing throw projectors, right? And throw projectors alone, you can travel with them. I'm about to go overseas. I'm taking my projector with me. I'm packing my little two carry-ons to Asia. But for the most part, those projectors, they create an atmosphere for me, you know, when I project things onto the wall. Not only can I see things, I have to squint to see a computer. If I have a certain amount of lumens, I can actually view and see what's going on the website that I'm working on, right? Or a PowerPoint presentation. Or so for me, it also creates an environment not only of work, but it also creates an environment of presentation and environment of mood. So when I splash on the wall, it just creates a creative atmosphere for me. So how does that all work when you try to integrate those lighting systems with some of those entertainment systems? Like, what's the best ones that you recommend?
Well, understanding the expectation is I'd say the first and foremost of how we would put together a design. If it's something like you said, you want to travel with it, that's going to be something portable and, you know, something small, lightweight. If it's a permanent installation where a client, you know, has a room for it, we would pick the products based on what the solution needs to be and the expectations of how it's supposed to perform. So there, you know, there are various manufacturers that make all these different products. And so it's hard to say without understanding the client's needs and the space it's going to live in. But that's something that we do well is we, you know, make sure we understand what it is that they want it to do. Because the worst part is if you know, put something in that's not going to perform how they expect, or it's not reliable in a way, all the time, or if it's not user friendly. So if they have guests over or, you know, maybe the in-laws come over or they've got a babysitter or someone coming over. Everyone has to be able to walk in that space and know how to use that without really being through a training session. So if you can't figure it out pretty quickly and intuitively, you kind of failed. So we try to make sure we understand who's going to be using it, what they're expecting it to do, and we choose the products based on that.
And what was one of your, if you can give us one of your, I guess, best success stories where you integrated something with an entertainment system, a home entertainment system that you felt like you really, you know, scored big, so to speak.
Sure. I remember I did a private theater for a client, and I started to talk to him about like what his motivations were, if he's a big movie watcher, and if he was into audio. And his response to me was, "I really could care less about movies or audio or even the video." And I said, "Well, why are you spending $500,000 to build this theater room?" And his response to me was, "I have three daughters. They're all in their 20s. They're going to be, you know, getting married at some point and hopefully having my grandkids. And I want to create a space where my grandkids want to come to grandpa's house so that the memories are made in my home. They don't want to go somewhere else and they're always begging to come back." So that's pretty cool. When you can, you know, build a place where like you're making memories and experiences with your family and your friends. And so that to me is more powerful than any technology we provide. But the technology is the backbone in creating those areas that the memories and the stories that happen for years after you've left can still be thought about, which is pretty cool.
Right, it makes those lasting impressions to make it memorable. That makes perfect sense, especially right now, post-pandemic. I feel like a lot of us, we want to get out the house, but it's kind of like, why am I leaving the house? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I left the house and I got my car, I got gas, or if you have an electric vehicle, you got to charge your car. It's kind of like, why did I leave in the first place when I have my own, like I have my own theater, like I can get a digital screener from a client. So I would say, I was going to ask for you too is, since you do so much in the design space and you have your fingers in so much, what are some of your, I guess, your highest level of projectors that you enjoy working with or you feel are easiest to work with on the consumer side versus the commercial side? Because I know a lot of people love projectors right now.
Sure. I'd say a good baseline is going to be a Sony projector. Some of the more powerful projectors are going to be made by Barco and Digital Projection. They make some pretty awesome projector engines. So depending on what the application is, how big the screen is, how bright you need it to be, how far away from the screen it is, will determine which one you select.
And then how many lumens do you recommend for a person to have a bright room, say like the one I'm in right now?
Well, I see a big window in the back there. So if you were to try to watch TV in the room you're in, I would say you probably need at least 5,000 lumens from where you're sitting, from what I can see. But it's really one of those things where you can have a way to dial back. So you never want to have not enough, because then it can get washed out. That's like one of those sports bars you go into and trying to watch a game, and you barely can see the score because the lights are on in the room. So you want to make sure you've got plenty of brightness, which is usually a pretty powerful light engine. And now I would say, we're talking about projectors. You probably want to look more towards a laser rather than a bulb, right? Because bulbs burn out over time. You got to replace them. That can be costly. Whereas a laser is going to last you quite a long time without having to replace those bulbs.
And then what are your thoughts on what do you cast it the projection onto? Do you like some of the chromatic paints or some of the green screen paints versus having the good old projector screen?
Projector screens are typically the way to go. There's a few. There's Stewart Film is kind of the gold standard. That's an Emmy award-winning actual screen. You have Seymour screens. You have Screen Innovations. You have your Firefly. There's a few different materials that do that. But I would even say, is if you're trying to look at projection screens nowadays, you can even look at direct view LED video walls that are super bright. You don't need a two-piece system where there's a projector and a screen. You can use it as digital art when it's not being used as a video source for a TV or a movie. So you can have something up there that's a beautiful landscape or some kind of a picture of up on the wall, like a large frame, Samsung frame TVs, rather than a projector that when you turn it off, it's just a big blank space. So that's kind of neat to have that dual purpose as well.
And then in terms of sound system, me and you both know that sound is everything. And I was going to ask you a quick few questions about sound systems. What are some of your go-to sound systems that you prefer for some of the residential clients versus your commercial clients, and if and why?
It just depends if it's being used for a theater purpose or if it's distributed audio, if you want it to be hidden, if it's an invisible speaker, if it's a small aperture speaker, if you want it to match a fixture. There are literally dozens of speaker manufacturers. I couldn't even name them all because there's so many. So what we do is we try to figure out what the application is first and then decide, how they want their sound to look basically.
And so if somebody wanted the sound to be tucked in, or hidden, what are some of your go-to speakers for those that are for more residential?
The two main residential manufacturers that do that are going to be Origin Acoustics or a company called Sonance and James.
And what about some, do you get a lot of clients that actually like the shape of the speakers that they, cause I
Oh yeah.
know a lot, yeah, I know a lot of clients, they'll go like, I like the shape of the speaker. I'm
Funny you
like,
say that because I have this right next to me because I was just talking about this earlier. It's basically a square speaker, and
oh
I've got one.
wow. Nice.
Yeah, so you can barely see him on my camera, but yeah. So essentially, what you'd like to do is, if it's in a situation where it's in the ceiling, rather than having a big old speaker like this, you want it to match the lighting fixture that's nearby. So if you've got a 3-inch or 4-inch square or round speaker, we can now do 3-inch, 4-inch round or square speakers next to the light. So when you look up at the ceiling, it's not as visible. It doesn't seem like it stands out. It blends in better. It makes for what we try to call a quiet ceiling. It's not very busy and noisy.
And then when you're doing, say for instance, if you want somebody that wants something a little bit more rambunctious or boisterous, what kind of speaker system would you pick for that?
Well, there's a bunch. I mean, Bang & Olufsen has been a, it's the oldest speaker company in the world, and that's pretty awesome stuff. And it's more like an art piece. So yeah, I would say if you're looking for something that's more of an art piece, sounds incredible. Bang & Olufsen's going to be the way to go. Bowers & Wilkins makes some great stuff. Vocal, there's a bunch of those too. It just depends on the style you're looking for and how you match whatever the design is for the room.
And what's your I was gonna ask you for yourself, what do you have in your home?
It's funny you say that. I get asked that a lot. I'm kind of a nomad, so I'm always on the road. I'm always traveling, so I haven't actually had the time to sit down and create exactly what I would like. And so, who knows when that'll be? Maybe it will be someday. I don't know. I'm more of a traveler. I like to be out and about, on beaches, on boats, and I don't really sit too long in some one spot to be able to create those environments for myself.
And have you been doing it? Have you done any boats by any chance or any yachts?
Yes, our company does do boats out of our Florida Boca Raton offices. So if there were a situation where there's a super yacht coming in and wanted to get some upgrades done to it, we can handle that as well.
And then, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you will want to speak to?
I would say motorized shades are a big thing because just like lighting, lighting control and lighting fixtures controls electric light, whereas motorized shades control the natural light, right? So like the window behind you, if you had a motorized shade, you could just put that down and cut that natural light out as well. And there's a lot of cool battery technologies with the motorized shades now where you can put in a battery operated shade that you can expect 3 to 5 years of operational use out of it, which is pretty cool before you have to change the batteries. And that's a cool way to do the natural light control as well.
And do you feel like the I know a lot of young people are millennials or Gen Z, of course they love the motorized shades, you can control it with Alexa or Google Voice, but what do you feel are some of the better motorized shades? Do you like the ones that are more like a muslin material or within hotels, or is there any kind of specific material that you think is best for those, a color?
Well, materials are usually determined by the design of the space. I would say as far as the manufacturers of the products and the motors, Lutron is going to be a great product to build the motors for the drapery tracks and the roller shades. And Crestron also makes some pretty awesome motors as well. And then the actual fabric is just a matter of how it should look. But you want to make sure it works before, it looks good.
Right, that's true. And then, are there any tips with when it comes to the motorized? I guess like any not tips, but yeah, I guess any tip guides or any kind of like ways to cut cost on those? Because motorized shades, they can be quite expensive when you're going for like systems that are to measure, made to measure.
Yeah,
Are there any?
if you go with a battery option, you eliminate the cost of having to run the wiring and hardwire it and all the material you need for the hardwired part of that.